Purim was out of this world. What could I say? Beyond words. We all want to take Purim with us. We want to capture some of the enjoyment, some of the inspiration, with a core hashkafa which will carry us throughout the year. And in this regard, I want to return to last week's shiur, which we titled Purim, I Look Green, But I Feel Beautiful, But I Know I'm Beautiful. We were discussing the idea that even when we have personal flaws, failings, one must believe that they have a beautiful core which breaks through. And how this was the story of the Jewish people and the story of Purim, when it seemed that they were derelict in their avodas Hashem. But yet Hashem says, I know it's only superficial. Their imperfections are only superficial. Deep down, they are virtuous. And that's what shines through. And we develop this from the imagery of Chazal regarding Esther Hamalka. Esther, on one hand, is described as beautiful in the Megillah. But yet Chazal teach us Esther Yerach Rokris Haya. She had a green, ugly complexion. But somehow she looked beautiful due to a charm she had. And what is the power of that imagery we explained? Esther represents the Jewish people in this story who might have an ugliness, who might have a lack of virtue, something unappealing, that ugly duckling, you might say, who is shunned and stigmatized. But deep down, there is a beauty which shines forth. Esther is described on a pshat level as beautiful because that is what she exuded. She was luring, she was appealing. Her yerach rokris, her green complexion almost didn't factor, almost didn't figure in. Let's take this further. Let's develop this deeper. As with every Torah revelation, there is more to it than that. There is a broader panorama which will come to light when we pull back the curtain and see how this teaching is part of a much larger landscape. There is another woman in the story, another beautiful woman in the story, so to speak, and that is not only Esther, but her ancestor, Rachel Imenu. The Gemara links Esther back to Rachel Imenu. The Gemara speaks about this familial trait of tznius, the ability to keep a secret and maintain privacy. It says Esther has this trait. Esther's able to maintain privacy when she keeps quiet regarding her identity. Ain Esther Magedesis Melanata. And this was a trait in her family going all the way back to, through various generations, such as Shaul, all the way back to Rachel Imenu, who displayed the same trait of tznius and silence and privacy when she did not spill the beans, when she did not reveal the secret regarding her sister Leah, when Leah was disguised as her, as Rachel, and brought into Yaakov, and a charade was pulled off, and Rachel refused to expose Leah as an imposter and embarrasser. Well, on the face of it, you can say this is a particular connection between Rachel and Esther. Esther and Rachel. They both have a particular midah, like mother, like daughter, of tznius, of privacy. But I'm convinced there's more to it than that. Right? You find other connections between Esther and Rachel, including the beauty department. Rachel is described in the Chumash as Yifas Marav, Yifas Tawar, beautiful of appearance and beautiful of countenance. And you find the exact same conjunctive phrase regarding Esther, who's described as Tovas Marav, Yifas Tawar, beautiful both in appearance and in countenance. Esther and Rachel are deeply linked. The story of Esther is really the story of Rachel. And as we've developed in the past from a broader Moedim perspective, just as there are Yom Tovim which are connected to various Avos, there are Yom Tovim which are connected to various Imahos, just as Chazal tells that Pesach parallels Avraham, Shavuos parallels Yitzchak, Sukkot parallels Yaakov, each Yontif inspires us to be like its given patron saint, its given Av. The same is true regarding the Yom Tovim, the post-biblical Yom Tovim, the Yom Tovim Derabbanan, which I believe parallel the Imahos. We've developed in the past how Hanukkah corresponds to Leah. Hanukkah, the Yom Tov of Hodah of Thanksgiving, corresponds to Leah, the Aim who teaches Hodah HaPamodas Hashem. And we developed many other interconnections therein. And how Purim, the story of Esther, corresponds to her ancestor, Rachel. And one aspect of this Rachel-Esther connection, we've explained in the past based on a piece of Tikkunei Zohar. We are taught in the Tikkunei Zohar that Rachel and Leah are not simply people, but they represent two attributes of the Jewish people in relationship to Hashem. That Leah represents a Jewish people who is accepted by Hashem unconditionally. A Jewish people whom Hashem showers with bracha even when we don't deserve it. Rachel, on the other hand, represents a Jewish people who receives bracha b'midas hadin only when they deserve it. Now, where does that come from? Where does that seemingly weird correlation come from? Leah corresponds to a Jewish people who receives bracha without merit. Rachel corresponds to a Jewish people who receives bracha only with merit. So what we've explained in the past is, think about Rachel and Leah, respectively, in relationship to Yaakov. Rachel was loved by Yaakov because she was appealing. This is very clear in the Chumash, when the Chumash says that Lavan asks Yaakov, what do you want for your wages working for me as a shepherd? And the next verse says, Eini Leah Rakos, Leah was unappealing. However, V'rachel ha'isi yafas tar v'yafas mara, Rachel was appealing. And hence the final verse, the next verse continues, Yaakov said, I want Rachel as my wages. It's clear from the juxtaposition of verses that Yaakov is selecting Rachel based on the appeal which he carried in his eyes, which Leah did not. That is clear from the juxtaposition of verses, which clearly says something about how physical appeal is a healthy Jewish trait, Eini She'el Eliyofi, and the fact that Rachel's appealing to Yaakov is not simply a vain physical trait, but bespeaks, in his eyes, a certain soul connection. So here we have Rachel selected by Yaakov due to her beauty, which I would say really represents her virtue. Right? He marries her because she holds an appeal in his eyes. That represents a Jewish people in relationship to our divine suitor, Hashem, who is chosen because of our appeal, our spiritual appeal. We are deserving in Hashem's eyes, and that's why he selects us, right? On the other hand, Leah, who Yaakov marries despite initially finding her unappealing and despite initial seeming lack of interest, he ultimately marries her and, as the Chumash says, comes to love her. That bespeaks a relationship which is larger than beauty, larger than virtue, not based on simply beauty, not based on virtue, but a kesher, a relationship which defies all of that. And that's a Jewish people who is deserving in Hashem's eyes simply because we are who we are his soulmate. That is Leah, that is one madrega. But the madrega of Rachel, of a woman who is appealing because of her beauty, because of her virtue. That is a Jewish people who Hashem embraces because we are deserving. A Jewish people who is zocha b'midas hadin. Which is very scary. The Rachel reality is a very scary one, obviously. Right? All the fear, all the stigma you could imagine which a woman has in this sort of conditional relationship. He loves me because I am beautiful. What will happen when I age? What will happen when inevitably I don't come off that way? Changes of body, changes of age, life condition, right? All of those visceral stigmas which make these Torah dynamics come alive in the real world, right? And the need for a woman to hear that validation from her husband of more of the Leah relationship. That all becomes very raw and visceral in the Tikkuni Zohar, the way I'm developing it. Rachel represents that reality of a Jewish people who is Zocha B'midas Hadin. Well, in the context of Purim, we're in Galus. We're experiencing Midas Hadin. Rachel, who's the mother of Galus, the mother of the Jewish people when we are experiencing the rough, rash reality of Midas Hadin, when we suffer retribution because we are undeserving in Hashem's eyes. Rachel is the mother who tells us we are going to find solace even amongst Midas Hadin. And one aspect of the Rachel reality is the notion that Rachel always remains beautiful. Rachel remains Yaakov's wife forever. And even when she's buried on the path to Beis Lechem and she's not buried alongside Yaakov, Yaakov is really not parting ways with her. Right? As Yaakov makes clear in his conversation to Yosef before he dies, don't think that the fact that I buried your mother on the side of the road and did not give her a burial space beside me lovingly, don't think that that bespeaks any sort of castigation and the like, as Rashi talks about. Right? That within the story of Rachel, within the story of, on a deeper level, the Midas Hadin, which scrutinizes the Jewish people, there's a validation that ultimately we are found worthy even when one might believe our failings. Because at the end of the day, the Jewish people does hold merit. For all of our imperfections, no other nation stands a candle to the Jewish people. Right? Think about what's going on, I must say, parenthetically, in the present Sarah. The gvura and the bravery which the soldiers of Klal Yisrael are showing on the battlefield for the most just cause of Hatzalas Yisrael. Think about the Achdus Klal Yisrael showing, the outpouring of Avas Yisrael, the outpouring of support for the soldiers, the outpouring of tshuva, the way people are seeking to improve and grow from the present Sarah of Simchas Torah October 7th. B'midas Hadin, we ought to be thoroughly validated. And that's what Purim is all about, as we discussed last week, that even when a Jewish people seems spiritually wanting, that is only superficially, Heimlo Soel Lepanim, on a deeper level, we are gold. Well, now with all of that in mind, let's return to the image of Esther's beauty. Esther Yirak Rokris Haya. Esther has a green complexion. A hideous green complexion. She is the antithesis of everything her matriarch Rachel was, seemingly. And this would represent the Jewish people at the time with their sins, who seems the antithesis of everything which a Rachel, a Jewish people who Zocha B'midas Hadin represents. But yet at the end of the day, the Megillah uses the same words regarding Esther which it does regarding Rachel. She's Tovas Mara, V'yafas Toar. She's beautiful not only in appearance but in countenance, facial countenance as well. How powerful that it uses the very same words to tell us that even when there are blemishes, at the core Esther is Rachel, and that's what breaks through. Esther, with her less than pretty elements, right? And we can use all sorts of interesting analogies here. You think about a woman who ages and other things which she might fear might leave her less than appealing the way she was before. And yet the core beauty shines forth of early years. It never changes. In this long line of Jewish history is really one ongoing story. Esther is Rachel resurfacing. Right? The face might be a little hardened or in this a little shriveled, or in this case, a little off color, a little green. But it's the same beauty that shines forth, right? This represents that B'midas Hadin, the trait of Rachel, the Jewish people, always remain virtuous on a soul level, even when we are in Galus, even when we sin in the story of Purim. Now we have all the more deeper appreciation for the Purim theme. I might look green, but I feel beautiful, but I am beautiful. B'midas Hadin, the Jewish people are totally vindicated. Let us all, as we move beyond Purim, maintain this deep faith in the inner beauty, the inner virtue of every single Jew. And you look at that person who's stigmatized, who's looked down upon, right? That ugly little duckling, and believe, no, they are beautiful. I am going to try to, with my Ayin Tova, find their deeper appealing core and relates them that way. And most of all, regarding ourselves, and we are all deeply aware of our own personal failings, either through our own self-awareness or from society, which will not allow us to forget our imperfections. Let us all believe in our deeper, beautiful core beruchnius, which is unchanging, whatever happens on a facial level, whatever happens on the surface, in the vicissitudes of life, in the nisyonos, in the struggles, because it's that belief in the deeper inner core which is going to propel us to tshuva, just as in the Purim story. Seldom does lasting tshuva happen when a person sees the green in their complexion, sees the green in their complexion and feels blue about it, right? It is the belief in the inner beauty, the inner virtue which a person has and how it will shine forth. I only need to wear it proudly, walk around with a pride, a stride in my step, a sense of, you might say, gaiva d'kedusha, proud bearings, and I'm going to act befitting of my greatness. That is who we are. That is what's going to propel us to tshuva. Amen. Kenehi ratzon.